We're going to try to pull away from symbols. I think most of us as artists use symbols all the time, and I think they're really wonderful. And we use them as metaphor and so on. We're going to pull away from it just a little bit to see if it can help us in our drawing. And I just want to mention again that a lot of what we're doing together is in this book called Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain. And it's in the bookstore. It's been in the 80s that it was written. And she's also written a sequel talking about the artist within, which probably uses more symbols. But this one is important for us as adults because most of us, when we get beyond 14, have a lot of things that build up about drawing. And we don't think we do it as well as we like to do it, or other people don't think it looks as good, and people make quick comments and so on. And so the procedures which she has, and she's built on some other people like Nicolaides and some other people that have been doing this for a long time, but she makes it clearer in a way. And she leads us through some exercises, and there are about 9 or 10 of them, and it would probably take us 3 weeks to do the whole series, and it would be fun to do that because you can see so much happening between here and here. But we're doing 4 this week, and I had to pick that many to make it fit in. And I just want to start today by having you, before we get into anything else, having you take one of your sheets of paper, and I want you to draw some 4 things for me. And let's all start out, and I'd like you to start with a person. Just take a blank sheet of paper. No one else is going to see this, so this is your, can make it as large or small as you want. We're going to put 4 things on that piece of paper, and would you draw a whole person, that is from the top of the head to the toe, in any way that you want to draw it. And do it fairly quickly. This isn't going to be a 20-minute exercise or anything, but just draw something that you think would indicate for you a person, a complete person with all their appendages and their torso and their whatever. Okay, and some people draw more quickly than others, so you take your time, but if other people can go on ahead. And I'd like you to make a tree. Tree, a bird, and a leaf. Someplace on that piece of paper. Tree, bird, and a leaf. Paper, make yourself a tree and a bird and a leaf on that same paper, make that person or around the person. It doesn't have to be in scale. We aren't doing a complete composition of any sort. Okay, I think we're probably mostly ready. I want us to think for a minute about that phrase in First Corinthians. That talks about when I was a child, I spake like a child, and I thought like a child, but when I became an adult, I put away childish ways. And we're going to take a look for a minute at some symbols. You have just now done symbols for yourselves. There was nothing there to look at, and so you did something that represents to you that you think if we showed it to anybody in this room, they would recognize a tree, a leaf, a person, and so on. And you're a long ways from some of the symbols we're going to look at as children. But what happens is that drawing is not a survival skill in our schools, like reading and math and so on are, that we have to be able to make change and we have to be able to fill out applications and, you know, all those things. So we spend a lot of time doing that, and what happens in the development of our symbols and things that we put down to represent something is that sometimes they get stuck in certain places and they never get pushed any further because no one has asked that of us and no one has spent 5 hours a week for 9 months in school helping us do that kind of thing. So we have things that we all can recognize and we can play Pictionary and do a great job and help our partners know what with symbols, and we all know there that we use these very concise sort of symbols to do it as quickly as we can to make the person understand. And we have that way of language that when I go like this and like this, you know what that is right away. Or if I come along here and I do this and do this and I do this, we know, even though it's kind of quick, we know what to recognize there. So these are symbols that we all work with. And what I want us to do for a minute is just to think back, either with your own children or with yourself, about what happened to you at stages. And we're just going to quickly look at them because the symbols change. And one of the interesting things about these symbols that we draw with is that children all over the world, if you take a child from Bangladesh and a child from Japan and a child from Seattle, Washington, and one from South America, and you leave them alone and you don't say, this is the way you make a turkey by outlining your hand and these are the feathers and this is, you know, if you don't do those things to a child and tell them that this is the way you have to make the turkey, then they will draw in this natural progression, and there's lots of good resources that show us that this is what's happened. And we don't all do it at exactly the same year, so think of these as generalities, these year numbers up here. But we do it somewhat at the same pace. In other words, one thing follows another. So you start out and you give the child the crayon and they just have fun with the articulation of it and the physical movement. And then at some point they start, what's important to that child is that they see your face a lot, and the face is where they read emotion and all kinds of things. Even when you're talking to them, they see that, and so the arms and the legs tend to come out of that. And then as they get a little older, they begin to realize, oh, there's a little bit more. My arm moves, you know, from here to here, so how can I represent that? And they might do something like that. And they don't slow down enough to realize, a lot of them, that there are 5 digits at the end of their hand, and so sometimes you get more. And these I just looked at from some examples, and so they're kind of approximations of what some child really did. And yet there's no feet here, and some of the important stuff is there. And then when they get a little older, they want to start using their pictures, like Ben Sean, they're making these symbols to express something to you that they want to tell you. And so in this particular one where they were doing the umbrella, it was real important to get that hand up there, and that was where the emphasis was going, and so that hand gets to be really, really large, and that's a symbol. I mean, we still read it as an arm, don't we? So, you know, we see it as a symbol, and the important thing was to tell how it felt to be out, you know, with that rain coming down on top of you. And then as we get a little bit older, especially, which is interesting in landscape, is that children use a lot of symbols for landscape, and they always like to put the sky up there, and it's really up there, and the sun, sometimes the moon, but the sun is always there, and then the rest of the things are on a line down here, and that's a real typical pattern that they know we're standing on the ground, so it has to be at the bottom, and those kinds of things happen. And they slowly begin to turn the face from this way to the profile, and you begin to get a few different kinds of symbols for people, and they begin to symbolize. And I left out some stages here. Eventually they'll begin to put one thing in front of the other, that the tree in my front yard is behind the fence, and they begin to layer things. But at first they put them all on this kind of longitudinal thing. And they begin to layer it and show us things. But then as they get a little bit older, we all start drawing with more detail. And if you're a young woman that's just gotten earrings for the first time, it's really important to put the earrings on. Or this person spent some time drawing this purse and all of it. She now had her own purse and probably her own quarter and 50 cents in there and so on. So it's real important. And the barrettes in the hair and the eyelashes, this young woman has now noticed that she has eyelashes and they make her eyes real beautiful and so on. And then they get more and more complex. And here you see someone drawing a bowl, a glass bowl, and we can see through it. And that's a pretty sophisticated thing. And that somehow the stems are different than the flowers, and some of the petals on the flowers are overlapping and so on. But they're drawn symbolically in that sense. And then as we get somewhere in our junior high years, we have this passion to begin to draw realistically. And that's where, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, that's where most of us get hung up. Because those teachers at that level find it easier to do clay owls and batiking and so on than they do to deal with drawing, because the student sitting there says, but I really want to draw my hand up to my face and I want to see what my glasses look like. They don't look round anymore when you see them three quarters from the side. And the teacher doesn't quite know how to handle it often, and so they just say, well, put down what you see, and then you see it, and it isn't right, and you're kind of like, I'm going to throw that paper away. I'm not going to show my friend what I did there because it doesn't look right. So we get real used to using symbols, and it's easier to draw with symbols, and that's our first instinct. I teach drawing at Cibola for not only art majors, but all kinds of students that come, and most of them are back somewhere between 12 and 15 is the last time they really tried to draw. And some of you are not at that stage, but that's where a lot of people, in fact, my guess is that the reason this room isn't full is that people have a lot of inhibition about, do I want to go in there at age, 52 or 35 or even 20 and, know that I can't do it the way I want it to. And more worse than that is I don't want anyone else to see it while I'm trying it, sort of thing. So anyway, I would like us to take some time together to shift out of that symbol mode, because I just glancing here, I can't see them very well, but I recognize things, and I would tell you, and anybody would tell you what those symbols are for. And what we're concentrating on this week is trying to put down what we really see. And that's when we have to turn back for just a minute to this that we looked at yesterday. And yesterday we both did a kind of mirror exercise where we drew a profile of a face, and you could try it on your own. You drew this side of a face, any face you wanted, a profile, and we talked about how we name the forehead, the hair, the nose, the eyes, the chin, and whatever. And then we start drawing and mirroring it on the other side. And when we mirror it on the other side, and you want to get it as much like the first side as possible, that we have to call on some different resources from our mind or our brain, in a sense. And what we discovered yesterday is that we have to think about, was that a curve or a straight line? And does it wiggle-waggle when I get to the eyebrow? And what is the slope of the nose? And so on. And we begin to think about curves and angles and comparison. He said, I have to make the chin the same length it was in the other one. And so we're thinking about those kinds of things. So here we are. We want to be on this side, which is on our left side of our brain, which is the one that uses symbols and words and numbers and analyzes things and thinks logically and does all the sequencing. And our public schools and our colleges are really heavy on developing these. And all of us in our brain want to go to that mode first. And then we have this side of us that gets less developed, but it's still there. And so what we're trying to do is to work on some exercises that shut off this side and turn on this side. And so the next thing we did, and any of you can do this with a picture out of Time magazine, turn it upside down and work on it and start thinking about, well, gosh, this is a kind of straight line. It's not exactly straight with the border, and I have to slant over, and this becomes kind of a triangle, and here's another triangle. And we begin to think about how these shapes fit together.
I'm just being on the teaching staff myself, interested in how these different classes kind of interface with each other. And last night, Paul Bosch made the statement that his definition of a fundamentalist is someone who doesn't understand metaphor. And, you know, that's obviously someone who's...
He even used the right brain.
No, he didn't even refer to that, but,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it's very true.
That this side of things is...
Just truncated, and how that happened, how that, you know, is brought out in fundamentalist churches where you don't see much artwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and most of those churches are pretty barren visually.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least my experience.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice connection with that. So anyway, we did this, and any of you can take any picture and turn it upside down, and I think you will be amazed, and I think these three were amazed, that really how good their portrait looked when they hadn't looked at it right side up the whole time. And what it forces you to do is to get into that right brain. And we're going to do a couple, we're going to do one sort of warm-up this morning to get us into that right brain kind of thing, if we can, and to keep telling our left to shut off. We aren't making anything like we know the symbol for it to be, but we're going to concentrate on what we're doing, what we're actually seeing. So, first of all, I want you to get a clean sheet of paper in front of you. And then I'm going to pass the tape around, if I can remember where I put it down, here.
On the table behind you.
All right, hiding here. And I would ask if you would get comfortable to actually tape that piece of paper down at the top and the bottom so it won't slide around when we're using it, and get a clean sheet and... Here's just all situated. And you notice I didn't put out any erasers, and I'm really glad to see she's even working with a permanent marker. Wonderful. I like the black marker.
Brave
person. And remember, we really don't need to erase. There's no line that's going to have to be taken away and so on in the process that we're going to use. And what we like to do is put away any ways that we think with our left side that we might be drawing, and we're going to bring in just only that amount of information that we really see. And we're going to do this by what I call a warm-up. And in fact, a lot of artists will draw in this mode first before they get on to a drawing. Like if you're coming in and you want to draw a figure of you sitting at the table there, we might do this as a warm-up in order to be ready to get our left brain shut off, so we won't make a pair of glasses in that symbolic way, but we'll make them the shape of his, and we'll make each eye, most of us have a difference in one of our eyes, and they aren't all the same, and a lot of people will make it say, oh yeah, I know how to make a shape of an eye, and I just have to go like this, and put the pupil in, and what they don't realize is that not only does everybody eye have a different shape, but that one side of your eye, one on the left, it might be different than it is on the right, and so on. So if you really want to get an image to look like what you see, you have to pay attention to how all those lines are moving, or those edges are moving. And we're going to do what we call contour or edge drawing this morning. And we're going to do some very special things with it. The first drawing is going to be one where we actually don't look at our paper and you think, jam, that's really crazy. Why would we want to do that? And I want you to tell off the start, and we're going to just take a few minutes to do this, and then we're going to get on to something where we look at the paper, and I hope that the transference will help you
in that other drawing. And your drawings are going to look something like this. They're going to be a little disconnected because we aren't looking at the proportions. They're going to be marks that stop and start, and things are going to be kind of jumbled, but we'll take a look at these again at the end. But those kinds of drawings we're going to look at and see that there are a whole lot of little bits of truth in that drawing. It's just that you haven't looked back at the paper to get the proportion or the connections, but we're going to get them. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to sit, and you can put your hand in any position you want, and we're going to have our hand back here. We're going to turn, so your hand is going to be back by the window, and your paper is going to be over here. And our tendency is your left brain is going to say, I want to look at the paper. I want to look, you know. So you're going to have to keep talking to yourself. And we're going to start. You just watch me just a minute. And we'll see if we can get this started here. And come down. I'm going down a slope. There's some curves here. I want to come up and there's a little crease. And I want to come and get a dip. And I've gotten to a hump. And now I want to come over diagonally. And when I'm letting my eye go just over each edge, oh, there's some wrinkles here in my hand, in the skin. So I'm going to go back and collect those. And what I'm doing, I got sort of this far in my, this is where I got to, right? Okay, what I want you to do, and this is not easy, folks, so don't think it's easy, because your left brain is going to be talking to you all the time and say, get on with it, we know that's a thumb, I don't have to look at all those little things in there. And they're going to keep saying, that's going to be keep coming in because your left brain has had so much experience and you have to keep disciplining it and say, get back out there. And so we're going to start, and what I want you to do, you can start on any finger or any place, wherever you want, and I want your eye and your marking tool to go at the same speed. That is not easy. We're so used to scanning. When we come to a stop sign, we see the S, and we probably don't even look at the TOP. And we see the shape and so on. We are not used to investing that much time in it. So when you do it, turn around and start. And the one thing I would suggest is that if you could start by, please start by looking at your hand for a minute. Don't draw immediately. And we're going to turn all the way around and we're going to look for edges. So some probably are going to want to start down on the wrist because that's the place where you can get into it. And when I say edges, I'm going to say these little creases are edges too. So some of them go in and back out. And probably the important thing is to keep that marking tool on the paper. Don't lift it up because if you lift it up, then you don't know where to put it down again. So if your eye is tired, just hold it and look away for a minute and then come back and then know that that's where you're going to start drawing again. And that you're going to follow the edges of every variation. And if it's curves, make a curve. And if it goes over a little tiny hill, do that. And if it's a long diagonal, do that. And so you're going to start at the edges and you're going to record. And the bottom line rule is, really hard. And we aren't going to be concerned that it looked like a jointed hand that's got all the bones in place. Okay, I think we're ready. And I would like, because this takes a lot of concentration, I would like not to talk to you during this. And we'll take about, we'll see if what we can get done in 10 minutes with it. And so you're going to draw over here with your paper down, and you're going to start tracing edges and contours. Okay. I'm going to do it too.
And creases? Like
creases of skin, anything if there's an edge. Mm-hmm.
Impossible.
Well, it's pretty hard.
Do we look when we're done?
Oh, yes, when you're done. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going to give you 16 gold stars if you didn't look while you were doing it.
It this button too, though.
No.
My paper wasn't big enough.
Mine wasn't either. Mine wasn't.
I went, my thumb was way off the edge.
Mm-hmm. You know why?
Your eye went, your eye got a headache of pain.
Yeah.
And you made a certain space there. Because when you come to a straight part like this,
yeah, you say, I know that one.
We know that one. And you say, oh, I don't have to look at it so much.
Oh,
very cool. Up here where it comes wrinkled, I have to look really carefully so it gets kind of curled in again. And then when you get to the open stretches, it's like, you know, the highway is straight, I am going to go.
Go for it.
Okay. We don't have to show each other. You can see mine here.
And here are some examples in the book of this exercise. And you shouldn't be disappointed, as I said, if they aren't all held together. Because what we're doing is getting little snippets of what you actually perceive. And because you can't compare, which is something we're going to use on the next drawing, because you can't compare, the proportions get off. And you don't, maybe you lose track and you don't know how to get back. So these drawings really should look odd. And if they don't look odd, then something has gone wrong. You've been peeking. And also, you should be able to discover in there some sections that are really truthful about what you saw. And I think if I had asked you to make your hand, you never would have given me that piece of information. You know, that even here, this is a really telling line. Yeah, maybe you got this ball here because you thought, oh, it's a curve. I know how to make a curve.
I got going too fast. I was going down here.
Yeah. And the places where he's got the creases and so on, I see it in everybody. And yeah, it's some wonderful pieces of these. Okay, so what it tells you is that, first of all, it's really hard to do. When I first started demonstrating up here this morning, did you see me? I started laughing. I started to go like that. I saw myself doing that. And I have to keep telling myself, even though I've drawn for years and years and years, that I have to shut off all that stuff that says, now I'm going over the nail. Nail is a simple word. We all know what we mean when we say nail. These nails that we have lying on this hand are all different. Every time I tilt my hand, I see a different shape. You know, so there's no one shape that can describe the nail in that position. So I want to turn that off and get beyond that. There's a really interesting thing that a friend of Betty Edwards said to her after she'd done this exercise. She says, no one in their left mind would do a drawing like that.
So, you know, there's something about it that doesn't like it, but to me, I'm really excited when I see these because it means that you're shutting off all that simple stuff and you're really beginning to observe.
Okay, now, we want to let go of this kind of contour for a little while, and we're going to modify our contour. This is where I want you to get a new sheet of paper and some new tape, and we're going to take down a new sheet of paper, and this time we're going to be able to look at it, and the only reason we're taking it down is that we don't want it to slide around, so we don't want it to crimp off that while we're working. But we're gonna look at it.
I can use
your tape. That's a good
Okay. Now, the last time we didn't look, but we kept our eye on the mark and the edges, so to speak. And we're all gonna pick up some object that we've got. And this time we're going to do a drawing which we're gonna spend a little more time on. Because we're going to look for a number of things in this drawing that we need. And this time, let me just say before we go on that if you have time during this weekend at Holden, and you have 20 minutes to yourself, you might try actually drawing, warming yourself up by drawing something without looking at it. Pick up one of those daisies or some grasses or something down in here, or even take a chair that's in your dormitory or your sleeping space or something and put it out in front of you and give yourself that exercise of pushing on your brain, because we don't do that very often and we need practice. It's like learning to shift the car or drive the car, standard transmission. When you first start, there's so many things to think of. The accelerating and the braking and the judging the distance and how far shall I turn the wheel and so on. And the first time it feels really awkward. And I don't know anyone that won't tell you that it feels awkward to draw without looking at the page. Everybody will say that. Even I say that after having done it many, many times. But what it does is very consciously help you shift from all that thinking, symbolic, verbal kind of thinking into the right mode, or the R mode, we're going to call it. And so if you practice that some more, you can pick up a piece of crumpled paper, you can pick up anything and draw and just practice it. That will prepare you then to use that mode in the way that artists do when they draw what they want to see in front of them. If I want to get back a portrait of you, I have to slow down and draw in this way that I'm talking about. I can't make any assumptions that I know how to make a collar on your shirt, because your collar is different than your collar, is different than her at the top of her shirt. So if I really want this group of flowers or this animal or this person to turn out that way, I have to slow down and pay attention, and I'm looking at you right now and realize that your hair is a real puffed out shape on this side, and it's a smaller shape on this side. But if I had you draw in symbols, you'd probably make them both the same on each side, you know? And it isn't that way, you know. So those are the clues that we're going to be looking for as we draw this time, and we're going to deal again with edges. But we're going to be able to glance at our paper from time to time. So the drawing is going to hang together this time. And it's not going to be something thrown out or exaggerated or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this time we're going to put something in our hand, so we've got something more than just our hand to deal with. And we're going to begin. And what I'd like you to do in preparation is just to kind of look. I think I have to get over here to do this. We want to just kind of look at the object and so on and kind of get our bearings and realize that that page you're working on has a horizontal and a vertical. And when I look at this, if you can see this hand here holding the sock, a vertical would be up here. So right away when I start up this line, I know I want a diagonal that's going to go in this way. And that helps me get my bearings about where I want to start. So let's just draw a little bit here. And I'm going to try to keep my eye on where I am here. And then I come up here and I turn. And when I get here, gosh, there's that sock. And so I'm going to draw the sock right where I see it. And I might even backtrack and come up and go over here. And then when I get here, I come in a little ways, and then there seems to be a contour that starts here and around. And I can look now and then. And then I can say, oh, I see a contour in here. So I'm just going to put that contour in as I go. And when I get down here, I discover that right next to that contour is another one, which is the edge of this sock, coming up here, and it's going way over here, and it's going to make a dip. And let's see, there was another line. Let me go back to where, this is why we want to look this time. And I want to go back to here, and I say, gosh, I have a big crease in my hand right about here, and maybe another one in here. And I have a bunch of creases in here, and I go, and they kind of come over one another. And this one, right about in here, and I'm saying, how close is it to the next one? I'm not saying, oh, I'm starting on the thumb. I'm saying, I'm starting uphill here, and I'm going to come up here, and there's kind of a dip, and comes out, and then I get to the top, and I have to do a little bit more with this edge, because this edge comes down and goes over the tip of my thumb here this way. And then I think, oh, part of my that shape around here is hidden, and I'm going to just show part of it. I can't see the whole thing. And then under here, that shape picks up again, and it comes down here, and so on. So, to get the drift of it, that you're going to go and let your eye, in the same way we just did with our line contour drawing, please join us, there's paper and pencil, and an object, we have lovely objects here. And we're going to let our eye travel as if we're going on a journey over all the contours. And let one thing just fold into the next thing. And whatever is adjacent, draw that next. And think about them as shapes and relationships. If this is really big, then this has to be small next to it. And if I start this here, then where do I start that shape on the sock and so on. But everything is in relationship and comparing. But you want to draw really slowly because your eye wants to travel too fast. And you want to trace all the edges as they really are. And if you're doing it faithfully, you're going to be looking at your hand and the object 90% of the time and at your paper only 10%, just to get your bearings. Okay? Oh, no, no, just go ahead and start drawing.
The idea is...
Turn off your left brain. Don't think about what you know
draw
already.
Draw what you see.
And press hard with your pencil. You've got an H pencil. Oh, no. Yeah, press hard. It goes to a nice one. Let us see it. Now, this is an interesting one because this is a triangle.
Not with a hand.
Yeah, I mean, you can start any place you want, but just give it a try. And just keep telling your left brain to get out of it and your eyes to slow down.
Easier said than done.
Mm-hmm. Get your eyes to slow down and they only go, your pencil or marker goes only as fast as your eye. You want to look at your paper when you want to get a proportion or where does this go in the scheme of things, and you want to find a point or a location. Then you look down at your paper. Okay, may I stop everybody just in the pause of time and invite you to sit someplace around Holy Village and pick up anything and try doing this again. And one of the things, did anybody find themselves getting absorbed? I talked for a while, and I would like not to do that. Tomorrow I'm not going to do that during the time, but I'm trying to help you get the method. It's you can concentrate better if nobody interrupts you with talking, or you don't have to look at your watch. But did anybody get kind of absorbed in it? Mm-hmm. If you do it right, it should be kind of an alternate state than what you're in. That is, you get so caught up in trailing this. It's like, I have to get through this maze in order to get out. And I have to stay with it. And if you can do that, your drawing is going to be more of what you have seen. And one of the things, I'm just sharing different things so you can learn from each other. She was moving her glass, I noticed, several times. She put it down and then she put it back up and so on. And when you start this kind of drawing, you want to be sure it's in the same position, because we were talking about the fact that that cup or her glass, we all know that a glass is round, right? But when we're looking at it in this position, we sometimes see it like this. Or if we're seeing it way down below, it's like this. And these are called ellipses. And you don't have to know that information. All you have to do is look at it. But if you shift it 4 inches up,
or an inch over, it changes what that shape looks like. And so you can't just depend on your mind to say, oh yeah, I know this is a cup, I know it's round, it was thrown on a wheel or in a mold or something, and I know it's perfect. You have to depend on what you see, and that's the thing about glasses and people, that they don't, you know, if you're looking at me from a three-quarter view or the side, they aren't anywhere near roundish anymore. They're kind of squashed shapes. And there's no way to find out what they are except by tracing around the edge and letting yourself do that. And so holding the object in the same place is real important. And so you want it, when you're a beginner or when you're just trying this exercise for the first time, get something that's comfortable. I mean, don't try to hold it out here because my arm in about 5 minutes starts to do this and so on. So that's one clue. Another thing, a really important thing that he and I were just talking about, and he said I could show his first drawing. This is his second one, and you can see that he's given us a lot of nice information about how those folds kind of lop over each other and so on. And if I had asked him to do a symbol of his hand, he wouldn't have given me any of that stuff. You know. So anyway, this is the one we want to talk about and learn from. He told me that his hand got too squashed in here because he drew this first and then there wasn't enough room. And that's why we're looking. This is called a modified contour. And we're looking now and then because maybe I didn't leave enough room. And so I can go back and just pick up where you think you want to be. And maybe you want to come up here and draw this again and have it come over and give yourself more room. And right now, it looks like, well, I don't know which line to read. But when you finally finish the hand and the object, it will all fit together. And so if you discover that up here after you've gotten around this end of